Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/verbalshenanigans. Over 150,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Welcome to episode 55 of Verbal Shenanigans Podcast.
You know when
five.
You know when you start talking, you should know what to say before calling or talking.
Oh, like
to
when
somebody.
you called a potential guest a few minutes ago. Hey, it's Mike from Verbal Shenanigans. Sorry, I forgot your name.
That don't sound like me.
Oh, you want me to bring up what you sound like from the last podcast, Gardener Boy, or two podcasts ago?
I'm working on imitations. I
remind me. Here's my edit point for later. Insert that clip.
Scott, in the future, don't do that.
It's good to be back, isn't it?
Always, man.
I'm feeling
always.
Very. I don't know. I'm feeling really very political today.
Really?
The Verbal Shenanigans is going political today.
Like the Whig Party or something?
Yeah, something like that. Like, I'm feeling, I don't know. I'm feeling like we've kind of ignored our political side for a while.
That's true. And we haven't really decided Republican, Democrat.
No, we don't really. We don't get too into politics too much.
No,
all
we don't.
Crap that's going on in the world. But, you know, in fact, in a few minutes, we're going to have a pretty large political guest calling in, Michael Berlow.
Oh, really?
Really. Big one. Big get on the show. But
I'm trying to think. Is it me?
No, it's not you. You got to stop assuming that you're the guest and the focus of the show every single episode.
Well, one of these days, you're going to say yes, and I'll be very pleased.
Yeah, I mean, but every interest, like, we got a big guest. You're like, me?
No, that doesn't sound like me.
Oh, okay. But anyway,
Don't go back to former.
Things are going good here. Been a good week for the podcast again. You just heard the last one was KP Burke and Ritu really dragging our what's the word? Our PC-ness down into the dumps.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're not
you know, we were a nice little rough PG-13 for a while, but we kind of went hard R there.
Yeah, we went hard. Ritu may even went X a couple times.
Mm.
But
why didn't we even shoot video of that?
But yes, the podcast is going very well, and it's great to be back. Before I get into anything, about an hour ago, I was up here actually editing and setting up the gear for the podcast tonight, and I hear all of a sudden I hear this blood curdling scream, like someone being murdered, like, wah! And then I'm like, holy shit, you know, I'm like, I thought someone was literally being attacked. I'm trying to look at the door. Even my dog was going nuts. Obi's going nuts.
Mm-hmm.
But then I realize it's my neighbor. I'm like, oh shit, I better get out there. But then I hear her go, fuck this woman. I hate this goddamn bitch.
Mm.
And like screaming at the top of her lungs, So I don't know if my neighbor, the guy neighbor, did something. Like she's like, God damn this woman. Or it's a personal issue, but it was a little intense there for a second.
Well, I can tweet America's Most Wanted when this comes out.
Yes.
Be nice.
Yes. And
hey, OJ.
I thought I was going to have to save woman number two in like 2 weeks.
Hopefully you had some pants that you didn't care about.
Had my rubber pants on?
Yeah.
Rubber pants. But, yeah, that was a little weird. So that was a little shocking. But other than that, I'm feeling good. It's a little hot in the office. A really disgusting day.
Yeah, the summer just kind of creeped up. Like with the humidity, I started saying to myself, oh, God, why is it so warm now? And then it kind of sat back and said, well, it's June, so it's pretty much summertime.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely disgusting. It's like where you just sit there and the back of your knees sweat. Mm-hmm. And nothing you put on makes you cool. And two showers a day kind of thing.
Ugh, yeah, it's not my time of the year. I'm a spring, fall kind of guy.
I'm fall 100%. I love the fall.
Well, the temperature is kind of the same. Season. But, yeah, I kind of get the point. It's kind of you go through this rough crap in the summer, and then you kind of get the die down. And you're like, yeah, feels nice. Yeah.
So as we roll into the summer, you know, you talk about America's pastime a lot, you know.
Yeah.
Baseball.
Well, not with our teams.
Hey, man, we're in first place, just to let you know. We suck, but somehow we're still in first place. We have no hitting whatsoever. But the Mets are half a game in first place because the Nationals decided they're just going to suck
this
year.
The whole division, it's kind of, I mean, everybody thought the Nationals were going to run away with it, and they just had some injury bugs. Some of the pitching is not up to upper tier that they thought it would be.
Yep, yep.
Phillies are right around where I figured they'd be.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I told you we're not going sports this episode. Okay. Well, we are. We are, right, eventually. But we're going political sports.
No.
Political sports.
Hmm.
I think if you live in New Jersey or pretty much anywhere around here, you had to see our great governor himself, Mr. Chris Christie, playing the hot corner.
Yeah, man. bringing back memories of John Kruk.
In his NYPD... softball app. He's a real athlete, man. He really looks good in that outfit.
Mm.
You know,
every ounce of that global fatness.
Yeah, I mean, I had looked at these pictures so many times. This picture of him batting with his big bunt twisting mid, like
he. You know what that picture makes me think of? Danny DeVito from Batman.
Yes, but he's just disgust. Like his people had to be like, oh God. Here we go again. This is bigger than Bridgegate. This is Fupagate. But, oh, it's so tight and disgusting, man.
I mean, it's not like I take off my shirt. I'm like, everybody's like, ooh. But at the same time, it's like, I'm somewhat respectable.
Yeah, and if you're the governor that once had presidential, like, hopes and dreams, like someone in that kind of shape would never make it through the even campaign season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he just looks like a fool. I love it though. I can't stop looking.
I kind of wish he had like Yankee stripes on there. That'd been amazing.
Look like a raft. But I'm very excited for our guest. Are you ready?
Well, if he's here, let's do it, man.
I think he's here. So 2 weeks ago. A week and a half, well, 2 weeks ago, we had Marcelo Balboa on. And those of you who don't know who that is one of the all-time USA soccer greats.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to be welcoming to the show another USA soccer great.
Is it from my IT soccer team?
It's not. Although, you may be able to get him to play.
Oh.
I mean, we were talking about a man who... dressed up like a president who was 100 years old and somehow caught fame overnight. You know who we had on the show?
Why don't you tell our guests?
We have... Hold on. Mike D'Amico. Are you excited?
Mike D'Amico. Like, are we going to talk about, like, Italian hoagies or something like that?
No, you know. Doesn't everyone know Mike D'Amico as a household name?
Is that Mike the Mac Dog?
Nope.
No?
Mike D'Amico.
Oh.
However, you may know him as the great Teddy Roosevelt.
Oh, now we're talking.
Teddy Roosevelt, for those of you who watch any soccer or even just were watching the World Cup last year, was this guy who literally dressed up like Teddy Roosevelt with like a USA thing on and kind of was shot during one of the USA games celebrating and pretty much caught fame overnight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're going to Skype him in right now. Are you excited?
Oh, definitely, man.
I am. Let's see. Let's give him some proper music here.
Okay. The music kind of went away. Here comes the president.
Hello?
Yeah, hi. Have we reached the office of Teddy Goldsvelt?
Speaking.
Wow. Teddy, welcome to Verbal Shenanigans.
Hey, how are you guys?
It's great. Can you hear us all right? Everything sound crisp and clear over there?
Pretty good on my end. How about you?
Oh, you're coming in beautifully. So welcome to the show, man.
Thanks. Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
We just we gave you a great intro. We said, now on the show, Mike D'Amico.
Oh, yeah, there's always a choice, right? Which name are you going to use? Mm-hmm. That's the real one. That's the more boring one.
Well, yeah. Well, that's why we're such great comedians over here. We brought that up, but you know, it's pretty.
It'd be funny, like he gets pulled over and a cop gets excited looking at him, then he looks at his driver's license. Oh, you know who I thought you were.
I just put like a little piece of tape over it, changed the name.
But for those people who don't know who you are, I just kind of gave you an intro. You basically you caught fire overnight about a year ago, right around this time of year, right?
Yeah, a little bit later, June, July, but yeah, right around this time, and coincidentally, it's World Cup time again.
It is.
But last year was the Men's World Cup, and it was kind of my my launch, if you want to call it that. more of a coincidence or serendipitous kind of a thing, if you ask me, but I'll take it.
Yes. So I guess we should start at the beginning, okay?
All right.
So you were you a big U.S. soccer fan prior to all of this, or...?
Yeah, I've been a fan. It's kind of a funny story in itself. I've been a fan for a while, and but before that, I actually hated soccer.
Wow.
Yeah, I grew up playing football. I played football all the way through college, and you know, there's kind of that unwritten rule if you're a football player that you have to hate soccer. You know,
I dealt with you people all my life.
Yeah. I probably was that guy. Yeah, like I said, I played all the way through college, so you know, that I never questioned it. I just knew that I was supposed to hate soccer. Right. And you know, then you get a little older, you grow up a little bit, and World Cup 2006. You know, I had lived in mostly small towns my whole life, but this time I was living in Chicago for this one. And, you know, there was an energy, people were into it. So I was like, all right, you know, I'll check this out. Mm-hmm. And, had a great time. So, you know, I thought, oh, you know, maybe I'll give this international soccer thing a try.
Right.
4 years later, it's 2010, and I went all in, and I just had an absolute blast. So, you know, I said, maybe the reason that I don't like soccer isn't soccer's fault. Maybe it's my fault. And I kind of put two and two together and realized that really the reason why I didn't like soccer wasn't because soccer sucked. It's because I didn't understand it. I didn't know the history. I didn't know the teams, the players, the relationships, all that stuff that you kind of pick up through osmosis with American sports. You don't really have to try. It just kind of comes with being an American. So I decided, you know, I was going to give it a shot. And the way I did it was I gave myself what I now call a soccer boot camp. And okay. Basically for 1 month, all I allowed myself to listen to, watch, or read had to be soccer related.
All right.
And I figured if I come out of that and I'm still not a soccer fan, then you know what? I gave it my best chance. But it worked. You know, it gave me just enough knowledge where, you know, I kind of understood all the, you know, European, the history, you know, South America, the World Cups, the big players, the relationships. And from there, you know, I just sort of jumped in with both feet. I started traveling around for U.S. matches all over the country. And that's sort of where I got the idea. You know, people dress up at these matches domestically, too. This isn't just a World Cup thing. Yep. That's what I always try to tell people is, you know, you go to these matches and at every one there's always an Abraham Lincoln. There's always a colonial soldier. Sometimes you'll see an Elvis or a World War II.
A lot of Hulk Hogan's and Macho Man's I've seen.
Exactly. And that's the cool thing about, you know, I mean, I'm going to maybe be a little xenophobic here, but that's the thing I love about our culture is, you know, you don't just have to be a president, right? I happen to do that. It's what worked out for me, but people, you know, I was at the World Cup. There was a Duff Man from The Simpsons.
There you go.
Nice. Duff Man. Nuts for, you know, it's awesome. So we have all these great pop culture things to pull from. You know, there's always a Rambo. Just have fun with it. And once I realized I was going to be going to the World Cup, I was like, it's time to step my game up.
So before we get there, now, you start to learn soccer a little bit, right?
Yep.
You start to become a fan. You start to come over to the good side, which I like to call it. Now, as a kid, I grew up as often as I could. We were here in Jersey, so Giants Stadium was always around. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the team would come by, especially during the Gold Cup games. And some of the best times of my life were watching the U.S. games, even prior to, like, it really catching fire like it did the last couple World Cups. It was still... Yeah. Just a great atmosphere every time they came around. And
And going back a little bit further, you look at Giant Stadium, the Cosmos used to fill that thing.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I've been to some crazy games at Giant Stadium. Actually, I talked about it once on the podcast. My favorite sporting event I ever went to was actually a friendly between Colombia and Scotland in the height of Valderrama's day.
Oh, nice. And
it was just like, you know, it was probably like 70% Colombians, but they all had Valderrama wigs and Colombian women, men dressed as Colombian women, and they're blowing up condoms and knocking them all over the arena. And then I'll never forget this scene. I'm like 11, 12, maybe 13 year old, and we're in the hallway and everyone's chanting Colombia, Colombia. And out of nowhere, you hear bagpipes come down, and there's this whole parade of like Scottish people that march right through the through the corridor, and it's just awesome. And like once people go to live soccer, it completely changes it.
Because I totally agree.
I think once you go live, then you can start appreciating the TV game more. Mm-hmm. But once you realize the pace and the crowd and the involvement of everyone there. You become hooked, or at least I have, for a long time now.
Took the words right out of my mouth. I totally agree. You know, anytime someone's on the fence, I say, you know, just give it one match.
Right.
Come with me to one match. Sit with me in the supporter section and tell me that you didn't have the best time you've ever had at any kind of sporting event. And that to be said, I'm a sports fan in general. Yeah. You know, I didn't disavow my football history. You know, I'm still
definitely.
I'm from upstate New York, so I'm a big Giants fan. Giants, Yankees, Knicks, Rangers. The list goes on. So I just enjoy sports, but it's different with soccer. You know, they're going to a football game or a baseball game. They all have their sort of unique kind of interesting quirks, but a soccer match just has a different energy with the fans standing and singing the whole time. And the connection that they have to their team, you know, within the U.S., we don't have a lot of those national sort of teams that we have that connection to, you know, a little bit with basketball because, you know, we feel like it's our sport, but we don't compete in football. We kind of compete in baseball, you know, there's the World Baseball Championships, but nobody really gets too into that. Yeah, you know, I didn't want to tick anybody off, but nobody really cares.
I try every time it comes around. I try.
Scott Bugselix on the phone. He's really pissed off right now at this guy.
I try it, and then it just it kind of fade out of it. I never, like, follow it all the way through to the end.
I mean, my weirdest thing with that is just, like, they're just joining teams, it seems like, because it's cool. It's just like, oh, yeah, my... third great-grandfather was Irish, so I'm on the Irish team or something like that. It's never, like, true, like, nationality.
Believe it or not, that does happen in soccer a lot, though. Like,
I do know, like, one of our players was born in, like, Iceland, I believe. I know the rules would work, but it just seems like it's just so far apart and trying to, you know, grind it together, just kind of, like, forcing, like, yeah, we're kind of like other... international sports, you know, you're kind of trying to force it down your throat.
Even like Rossi, he grew up right around here in Clifton.
Yep.
And he went on over to Italy, and it was probably the worst move he made because he doesn't see a lot of time out there. You know, he would have been a star here.
Oh, my, he would have been a legend.
Yep.
Absolutely, yeah.
We're
starting to win. We're starting to win some of those choices now, which is really we're kind of in a really great time for people to get involved and get interested in U.S. soccer because with all this momentum that we have going right now, I mean, I'm sure that you're aware of our results the past week.
Beautiful win yesterday,
Germany, man.
Yeah. You know, our men beat Germany and the Netherlands. Our women beat Australia, our U23 and our U20 teams are doing very well. Mm-hmm. It's a really great time to get in and get on board with the U.S. soccer program.
It is. And like, which was really funny for us, the podcast, I mean, because just 2 weeks ago we had Marcelo Balboa on the podcast.
Legend, yeah.
Which was just, you know, just a random power of Twitter and social media.
Really nice guy, really yeah. laid back, talked about everything, really cool about stuff. Just he apparently had fun during soccer.
Yeah, yeah.
We learned that.
Yeah, we did.
That's our interview.
Cutting
skills.
Edge interview. but yeah, he was just a nice guy. And that was like a dream come true for me. And like after I had done that, I was just like, you know, oh yeah. Like I was looking through pictures and stuff, and I see your face pop up. I'm like, oh my God, that'd be funny.
Sorry
if he's
about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That'd be funny if he's around. Like it's just kind of like how one thing kind of just leads to another idea, who leads to another, mm-hmm. and who you can just, you know, get in touch with. And that's kind of like a summary of your story a little bit, you know, like.
Yeah,
what
absolutely.
Happened with you, which we're going to get into now.
I have my being here right now is completely thanks to the internet. It is not my doing. I'm the first one to tell you that. Yep. So
tell us. Okay, so you decided you were going to go to Brazil.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that in and of itself is a little bit of a story, and I'll try to be short with it. But
take your time.
I actually. So I'm a member of the American Outlaws. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar or if your listeners are. They're the biggest U.S. soccer supporter group in the United States now.
I tweeted every single one of them the Balboa episode. I kid you not. Because like before even Scott told me who we were coming on next, like I kept on like tweeting. And I kept on seeing followed by and I see your picture. I'm like, who the hell is this guy? I keep seeing him all night.
Yeah, so, you know, I was a member of that group. I still am, obviously. I'm actually on the board for the Chicago chapter.
Aren't you a founding father? Sorry. We'll keep them coming.
During the game, do you yell the players to rush more?
Now, did you just come up with that one, or was that one read?
Okay. Yeah, it's my amazing improv skills. It's fantastic.
You don't know who you're talking. You're talking to two really good...
To
glorified
mediocre comedians.
Open micers.
So you know, a member of that group, and they do a trip to every World Cup, and the problem is that so many people want to go that it kind of sells out almost immediately.
I actually looked into that.
They start a wait list, and I signed up on the wait list. I don't know, 2011, years and years ago, and so fast forward to 2013, I get laid off. I am unemployed in September of 2013, so I'm about as far from going to a World Cup as you get. But a couple weeks later, I started freelancing, and in my business, I work in advertising. Freelancing pays stupid money. It's completely ridiculous for what we actually do for a living, but that's a different topic.
Yep.
So all of a sudden, I go from having no money to having more than I really need, and I start saving it a little bit. And then in November, I get an email from the American Outlaws saying, hey... I know that you know, you signed up for the wait list a few years ago, and if you want to go, yours is the next name on the list. But we need $5,000 from you in 1 month.
Okay.
And so, you know, at first I was like, oh, $5,000. Who's got $5,000? And then I looked at how much money I had saved, and I looked at how much they needed, and it was almost the same. And I was like, all right, well, this has got to be some sort of sign that I'm supposed to go to the World Cup. So that's how I actually started that whole path is, you know, I went from being as far as you can be to sort of serendipity starting right at the beginning.
All right.
That's how that got started.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah, I was thinking about going to that one too, and just finances were not, they were just definitely just couldn't cut it.
I got lucky.
So now, does the thought start going through your head like, I'm going to make this fun, you know? Like,
exactly.
What can I dress up like? How can I... have a good time.
That's exactly it. You know, so like I was, you know, saying before, you go to these games and it's really it's as much about passion and supporting the U.S. team as it is about just having a great time. Like that's part of the reason why I love soccer too, is people just they're just there, and it's just this joy that people have about being at these games. So, you know, like I said, I'd seen all these costumes, and people bring musical instruments. Everybody's got something.
Yep.
And I thought, if I'm dropping thousands of dollars, I'm traveling to another continent to go see these games, I need to do something else. So I started thinking about it, and at the time I actually had a beard that went like down to my chest. I mean, it was
nice.
And I was like, all right, there's got to be something with this. I don't want to keep this in Brazil. You know, a face sweater is not a good look in Brazil, especially, you know, in the heat. So yeah,
plus the Brazilian women probably don't like that. They want you to look like Neymar.
Right. Very easy to do. You just shave, everyone looks like Neymar.
No. Yes, yes.
So, you know, I'm thinking, what can I do with this beard? I could do the chin beard. I could be chubby Abe Lincoln. No, that's not a good idea. You know, I started going through the different facial hair arrangements. And then finally I was like, well, how about a mustache? And then mustache led to Teddy Roosevelt. And then once I started sort of piecing it together, you know, his whole connection with the Amazon and how he's just sort of a symbol of testosterone and, you know, the Rough Riders and all that sort of stuff. It just kind of fit. And so I started piecing my costume together and, you know, it was just like, I didn't take it too seriously, you know, because I, you know, it's too, I'm just one guy among, you know, thousands and thousands. I just wanted to have some fun.
Yeah.
And I actually, it's kind of funny, I wasn't even going to bring it because I thought it was dumb. I was, you know, I talked to my girlfriend in my room and I'm like, should I even do this? They're like, eh, just bring it and maybe show it to a couple people and see what they think. And so I put it on in my room before the first match. The first match was in the city that we were staying in Natal. And, you know, kind of sheepishly and shyly, I showed my roommate and another guy. I was like, what, should I even do this? They're like, oh, my God, you have to wear that. So we walked out, and all of a sudden, I mean, it was immediately, the response was, I just got lucky that just sort of like that Venn diagram of American culture, history, and sort of pop culture overlap. Because Teddy Roosevelt, if you know much about him, he's almost like a cartoon character. Yeah. Like the stuff this guy
did. He does everything, yeah.
It's amazing. Like, I'm kind of surprised that there hasn't been a comic book about him yet, because it's almost like he had superpowers. The guy's a... He was a
Superman versus Roosevelt.
Yeah, well, he was.
I mean, Abe Lincoln was a vampire slayer. So
that's true. Maybe he's next on the list. But yeah, the costume was a hit right from the start. But you know, I wasn't trying to get on TV. the whole thing about me getting on TV. It's funny. I just told this story the other day to somebody. Is I was just in the crowd, and there's tons of people in the crowd. And this is now fast forwarding to the match in Manaus, the Portugal match.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And that match was amazing because we were really dominating. We gave up a goal. Yeah, you know, we were down, but we were winning the match. So there was this inevitable sort of feeling in the crowd, this momentum, this buildup, waiting for that breakthrough. And finally, Jermaine Jones just fires a laser into the upper 90. I mean, it was a wonder strike, and the place explodes. The place explodes. There's beers flying everywhere. There's people flying everywhere. It's absolute chaos. And then this guy from across the aisle, I was standing right next to the steps, he kind of comes over, puts his arm around me. We celebrate for a second, and then he turns me, and I realize, oh, this guy wants to mug for the camera. The camera had panned over to the U.S. section. And so I just keep doing what I was doing, which is
cheering.
Losing my mind,
right?
And that's the shot that they ended up cutting to. But the ironic thing about it is, if you look at the GIF of it that's on the internet, you can just see like the guy's ear. I feel so bad for him because that was his moment in the end.
So you have this.
He dressed up as Rutherford B. Hayes, you know, so sad.
So you have this moment, okay? What was it, about, I don't know, 10 seconds, something like that?
Yeah, not even. Well, nope. I guess apparently, and I actually haven't watched the replay. I should probably do that. But I guess they cut to it a couple times, or it was like a super, super slow-mo. And so it was up for a few seconds, yeah.
I remember being in the bar watching the game, and they, you know, everyone just laughing, like, oh, my God, look at that guy! You know, like as they were just showing it on the big screens. So you have this moment. And obviously you see an unbelievable game, have an unbelievable time. Do you know anything about, like, that everyone across the world basically just saw you?
No, I mean, not really, because, you know, being in Brazil, and this isn't like a knock on Brazil, it's really any stadium you go to, I had no service in the stadium. So I would just turn my phone off before I even went in there. So, you know, I'm watching this game and we're just trying to hang on for dear life because at the end, you know, we were soaking up some pressure, and eventually Ronaldo ended up hitting a ridiculous cross to set up the tying goal. But, you know, time's winding down, and this camera crew, a guy, a microphone, and a camera, come down the steps and ask me, hey, do you mind if we do a quick interview post-match just to get your thoughts on the game and everything? I'm like, yeah, sure. You know, they just want like somebody who looks goofy so to represent American fans. And the guy goes, oh, thank God. And I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, my boss just called me from the U.S. and said, if you don't find that Teddy Roosevelt guy and interview him, you're in deep trouble. And that's when I found out. So I was like, what are you talking about? And that the match ended and we started chatting. And he's like, you're all over the internet. You're on the front page of Reddit. Everyone's tweeting about you. And so they were showing me their phones because they had all the information. And there's actually an interview on Yahoo. That was the first interview that they did. And you can see the shock. I'm like, I guess I'm on the internet now. I guess people are talking about this. Now, it was wild.
Now, at this time, did you have that name or it was given to you by the press or something like that?
100% internet. I'm sure that came out of Reddit. If anybody who uses Reddit, that's like their favorite thing is puns. So, no, somebody came up with Teddy Roosevelt and I lovingly adopted it.
Well, what's funny is we did some crack research.
Yeah.
And,
oh, did
you? Yeah, we did. We did some crack research, and we found a list of like names that didn't make the cut for president. So we're going to read a couple to you.
Okay. It's funny. I just did a list of these. I did a Reddit AMA on Saturday, so I'll be interested to hear your puns.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We'll start off simple. Attackery Taylor.
Attacker
Taylor.
Okay.
Taylor.
Yeah. Got it. Yeah. Nice.
Gerald Forward.
All right.
Warren G. Yellow Harding.
All right. I like the forward better.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't have to laugh at some of these. Yeah. It was a bit of a stretch.
Yeah, let me bring up some of yours, guys.
Oh yeah. We got a whole bunch here.
We got a whole bunch here.
We didn't know that you went through this many names.
Rutherfoot B. Hayes.
Nice.
William McKickley.
I've got a few. I got Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, we have Abraham.
We have Abraham Lincoln Kakoff. I love that one. I told you that was a good one.
That one just goes off the rails at the end, and I love it.
Yeah. Oh, Chess Steele A. Arthur.
Oh, nice.
Barack Goldbama.
Ooh, Goldbama.
Yeah, that's a nice one.
We have Bill Clinton Dempsey.
That's a good one. Then we really go wild.
Oh yeah, yeah. We really
Harry wild. True man to man defense. Ronald Reg Man City.
Okay.
A little international flair there.
Yeah.
William Tim Howard Taft.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
Richard Kixon, which is pretty much a playoff of
Richard Kixon.
Yeah. Kick Cheney.
Oh, Kick Cheney. Yeah, we got Kick Cheney.
Nice.
Kick Romney.
I think that's all of them.
And I had, where was it?
You can't forget midfield Fillmore.
Ooh.
Oh, I had Ross Perot own goal. Get it?
Very nice.
Oh, yeah. So that was our crack staff that we have here.
Again, I love open micers.
I love it. Okay, so let's get back to your story here. All right. So you become this overnight, like, oh my God, it's Teddy Roosevelt. So tell us what happens next.
Right. So we actually are in. Due to some issues with the only way to get in or out of Manaus is by plane. So there was some complications in the airport. So we were all trying to get internet service in the airport. And every few minutes, my phone would just I'd get an alert, a text from a friend, a Twitter thing or, you know, some sort of alert. And it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And the peak for me was like I finally got my browser to load, and there was the GIF of me on the front page of Reddit, and I was like, my life is complete, I've done it, I've peaked. This is as good as it gets. And it didn't really get crazy until the next day. We flew back to Natal, and the next day I had a bunch of emails from friends, my coworkers, and my girlfriend, because the media had started reaching out and trying to find me.
That's unbelievable.
And it's the craziest thing is they somehow found my parents first. A couple of them in my parents.
The original Goldsvilts.
They don't even know how to use Twitter. They don't even know how to spell Twitter. So, like, the fact that they found those guys first, I got a real kick out of. But yeah, then it started. Then it was like every, you know, acronym network, all the ABC, NBC, everybody, CNN wanted to talk, and then it was just pandemonium from there. People really got a kick out of it. So.
I mean, on a side note, that's kind of an interesting point. Like, I heard a lot about, like, some of the stadiums are just, like, were insane to try to get to. Like, which one was the most difficult to get to during the whole trip?
Yeah, for us, it was definitely Manaus because it's literally in the middle of the Amazon jungle. It's a city unto itself. It's sort of its own. It's imagine if there was only one city in Texas. That's kind of what Manaus is.
Right.
And the only way to get there is by plane or by taking a boat up the Amazon. So that was pretty wild. But you know, getting around Brazil was part of the fun for me. You know, I figured this is kind of like a once in a lifetime kind of thing. So I rung
vacation
it,
yeah. / World Cup. You know,
yeah, and like experience of a lifetime. So you know, I was flying, busing. I rented a car and drove 3 hours to go see Brazil play Mexico with that's a guy awesome. I had just met. it was.
That's
I mean,
not
I,
always the smartest thing for an American to do in Brazil. Just like to point that out.
It worked out. He was a fellow outlaw, so yeah, we bonded over the way. He ironically now he works in China, so he's spreading the American love on another continent. But yeah, it was. I mean, it's just an amazing experience. All the stadiums and the people. You know, you told the story earlier about that Colombia Scotland match,
yep.
And that's when I try to explain to people why the World Cup is so amazing and so special. That's it right there.
That's it.
It's that raised to the, you know, turn it up to 11, Spinal Tap style, and that's that is the World Cup. And it's just everyone is there. There's no like. It's not like, you know, when you have bitter rivals, even, you know, when Brazil is playing Argentina, you know, it gets a little intense, but at the end they're friendly and stuff. It's just, it's an amazing experience. And I tell everybody, like, you got to go to one.
Right. I you know, like me and my buddy have, since high school, have always said we're going to go on, hold on, my dog is barking like a maniac right now. He generally does that once per podcast. He's like the third mic. But, me and my buddy from high school have been saying for years, we're going to go to the next one, we're going to the next one. The next, we were really thinking about after this Brazil one, we're like, I can't wait. And then it's like Russia and Qatar. That's
that's
tough locations to get to, man.
It is, for sure.
So, well, maybe this whole FIFA thing will will change one of those, possibly. But
if I'm elected FIFA president, that'll be the first order of business.
Yes, we'll get to that, too. So you come back. So. Now, did you have money to stay down at the World Cup? Like, because it, like, right. It lasted,
the World
that
Cup
we advanced, so
yeah.
So it lasted longer than just three playing games.
Right. So the American Outlaws package that you pay for includes accommodation and transportation for the group stage games. And as you mentioned, we survived the quote-unquote group of death.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so just before the Germany match, things had sort of reached a fever pitch with this whole Goldsvilt thing. And some of my coworkers, basically without my permission, had started a GoFundMe, which is like a kind of like a Kickstarter, but for causes, which I'm not a cause, but that's a different
You're
thing.
You're a cause in our heart.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you. So they had started that, and, you know, it was mostly to start out with. It was mostly friends and family trying to save up some money so that if we did advance, I could stay for the next game because, you know, like I was the mascot or the lucky charm or whatever they wanted to call it. So I was like, that was very nice. And so I go into the Germany match. And again, I turn my phone off because it's not going to work in there anyways. And I turn it back on and I leave and it's the same explosion of text. I'm like, there's no way I was on again. Like I wasn't even in a spot where I could probably see a camera. And it's actually people telling me that not only was my thing funded, but it was beyond funded. So McDonald's had made like a $3,500 donation so that I could stay down there. It was absolutely crazy. But they're actually
nothing more American than McDonald's keeping Teddy Goldsvilt. And
I ended up doing some photos in my room. It's kind of funny. I'm in my hotel room. They're like, hey, can you take some photos with, because there's tons of McDonald's down there. Can you take some photos with some French fries or something? And I'm like, I'll try. I mean, I'm in Brazil. I don't really have a photo equipment, but a friend of mine and I were in our room, and we've got like a floor lamp plugged in across the room because there's only like one outlet in the room, stretched to the max so that we can light me in front of a wall holding a thing of French fries, and they ended up using something, but that was an experience itself. But yeah, the coolest part, what I was going to say is, I called and spoke to my bosses at my former job, the one I was at then, about how, you know, I didn't really feel super comfortable accepting $5,000 just to stay and watch soccer. So they did a really cool thing and actually said that I would be able to expense the rest of my trip there, because they ended up getting some press out of it too. So that the money could actually go to a charity.
Donating
it to a Brazilian charity called Gold Eletra, which is kind of like Boys and Girls Club, except it's all soccer, and helps educate and keep kids off the streets. It's a pretty cool charity.
That's awesome. So you, it starts to build more, and you're over there, and so eventually we do lose.
We did. Despite Tim Howard's superhuman effort.
Yeah,
he was insane.
Yeah.
We need Tim Howard to have a baby with Hope Solo. We will kill every team in like 20 years.
You just put them out there and they're going to score, play goalie, they can do the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I guess it's time to come back then, right? It's time to come back to the States.
Yep.
So you fly back and tell us what's next.
Yeah, not too much actually, because you know, we came back and you know, there was still a couple, like the local TV stations wanted me to chat, but I wasn't going to. I was a reluctant celebrity, I would say, the entire way. I tried to, every time, you know, I did an interview, I wanted to be very clear that I'm just one guy. I just got lucky that they cut to me during that moment. If you had put any fan in the crowd on the TV at that moment, they probably would have ended up, you know, going viral or whatever.
Right.
So when I got home, you know, we talked to the local TV stations, but as the World Cup wound down, that was kind of the end of it. Because I wasn't going to push it and try to. People were like, "Oh man, you could turn this into a career." I'm like, "What am I going to do? Go around to like local high school stadiums and go show up at their soccer matches? I don't know.
Come on podcasts and Rockaway, New Jersey,
the big life.
Do the podcast tour." But yeah, I guess that kind of brings us to now.
Yes.
Where, you know, we're having this sort of revelatory period in FIFA.
Yep.
Where I like to look at it positively. You know, there's two ways you can look at it, which is FIFA is a disaster and they're corrupt and it's a mess. But anyone who's followed soccer at all, we already knew that. It's kind of like
forever.
When somebody gets in trouble in Chicago or in Illinois for some sort of corruption, it's like, yeah, that's probably right.
I mean, Maradona scored with his hand. I mean, for God's sake.
Like, yeah, there's a bunch of, you just talk to Thierry Henry with the whole thing. You know, there's lots of Qatar getting a World Cup where there's no soccer stadiums, or
it's 125 degrees.
Yeah. The entire soccer calendar for the world to make it work. I mean, the list goes on, but finally. You know, there have been exposés, there's been articles and books and all sorts of things written, but there's no way to actually force FIFA to do anything because they're an international organization. They're kind of above all that, you know. But finally, some law enforcement got involved, particularly the good old USA, Federal Bureau of Investigation, as well as some Swiss law enforcement. And now there's actual repercussions. So, you know, the light is shown and the cockroaches are running for the crevices. They're fleeing all over the place. Jack Warner has just been pure comedy this whole time. If you don't know who he is, just go ahead and Google him and you're carve out a good hour and a half of laughter. Yep, you're just going to enjoy yourself. So that was all happening. And I was like, you know what? Maybe this is the time to bring the Teddy Roosevelt character back for a couple of reasons. You know, like I want soccer fans to not feel like their sport is bad,
right?
You know, so part of it is if you watch, I made a video, which is kind of what we're talking about, where I announced my candidacy. It's mostly jokes. It's mostly me making fun of FIFA and really the whole situation.
Yep.
But at the same time, it's like, why not? You know, it's kind of crazy. There's a situation where a grown adult man who dresses as a president from the turn of the 20th century is a viable candidate for the president of this organization. So, you know, I made that video, and actually I sort of alluded to it earlier. I did a Reddit Ask Me Anything on Saturday that ended up going pretty well. I think people were surprised that I actually kind of knew what I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But it's as much about people looking on the bright side and sort of having fun with this, but also trying to keep it, you know, bring light to it. And, you know, I didn't want it to fall off the radar. John Oliver's done an amazing job of keeping this at the forefront of news, people talking about it. But it's an important thing, and you want to keep the momentum going, you know?
Right. You got my vote. You could have Will Ferrell as your running mate.
I'm still on the fence.
Yeah,
I gotta be honest. You're a nice guy, but you know, I gotta look at your views on certain things.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, I was on Reddit, and there was two people. There were people who got it.
Yeah.
And there were people who weren't, and there was some comments, and they're like, "What do you? You're 32 years old. You've never been in politics. How are we supposed to believe you?" And like,
oh my god,
what makes you think that we should believe that you're not going to be corrupt? And it was just insanity. And I was like, the fact that people even care enough to make a comment, that's a win for me.
Now it's time to ramp it up even more with like political, like you know, smear campaigns against the other guy.
His vice president should be Ronald McDonald.
Yeah,
I believe in the fries.
That's right. Yeah, maybe I should. I should reach out to those.
Just ramp it up. Smear campaigns on all the, you know, vote Roosevelt. Goldsville. Nowadays, do you still keep the character alive when you go to games, or is it have you kind of put that aside?
Yeah, I feel like if I showed up to a game not dressed as Teddy Goldsville, people skewer me and like carry me out of the stadium, throw me over the side at this point. So, you know, if I go to a match, particularly a US one, I'm right. going to go. I haven't been to one yet. I was going to go. I wanted to go to the Women's World Cup in Canada, but yep. The way that it worked out with work, I couldn't make it work feasibly. Mm-hmm. Still trying to see if I can squeeze in the Vancouver one next week. I'm, you know, still got some gears in motion, but I haven't been to a US match yet since the last World Cup, but wow. I will be wearing it next time. But like if I go to like the Chicago Fire, our local MLS club, or the Red right. Stars, our women's team, I will not go dressed as Teddy Goldsville. I think that that's sort of a little too self-serving and mm-hmm. maybe even mm-hmm. a little disrespectful of the local fan base.
Right.
But it's funny. Once I went back, because as soon as I got back from Brazil, I went right back to having a beard. But man, as soon as that mustache came out last week when I recorded the video, instantly people were like, it's funny. I was walking around the mall yesterday or a few days ago, and I heard behind me someone go, "Is that Teddy Goldsville?" These two kids. And then, you know, with the escalators, you're going down and you kind of have to turn around to go back down the next one. You're sort of facing each other again. And then you hear, "Oh my God, that's totally him." And it's funny. It's all of my power is derived from the mustache.
Have you seen any copycat Goldsvilles? Have you seen any other people dressed as Teddy Goldsville?
Shockingly, no.
Wow.
We were
Dibs.
Joking around. Yeah. We were joking around after the World Cup. People were like, "Man, you got to make some money off of this." And I'm like, "Yeah, I don't know about that." But they were like, "How about a Halloween costume? Everybody's going to go as Teddy Goldsville this Halloween." And we didn't end up doing it, but I didn't see many. It's funny. It's almost like people are trying to do their own thing.
Yep.
But yeah, I haven't seen a copycat Goldsville yet.
It'd be funny, like, you know, Party City has to like generic all the names,
yeah.
costumes. It'd be like
President soccer lover,
presidential soccer guy,
soccer fan.
So, like, nowadays, like, if people want to like follow you or see what's going on, like, where should we go?
Yeah, there's a few things. Obviously, I'm on Twitter, which is how we got in contact.
That's it's it. Just the magic of Twitter.
At Teddy Goldsville, very easy one to remember. I'm also on YouTube. You can check out that announcement video that I have. It's youtube.com/ I believe C/ Teddy Goldsville. And then I'm on Facebook too. If you just search for Teddy Goldsvelt, it's the only page that should come up. I can't imagine there's multiple Teddy Goldsvelt pages. but yeah, it's fun. You know, like I said before, I'm gonna enjoy this thing if it keeps going. But I'm also not one to sort of force it on people. Right. So I try to tweet a reasonable amount, not much.
Right.
And it's opposite. Actually a lot of times it's just celebrating when US does something great, which has been a lot lately.
Yes, it's been great. Hey, that picture with Will Ferrell, where was that from?
Yeah, oh yeah, we kind of skipped over that part.
Yeah, yeah.
That was before the final match, the Germany match. And that's a little bit of a story in itself. I was in Natal. That's where the Outlaws were staying while we were in Brazil.
Right.
And I'm in my room, and I'm really just trying to keep my head above water dealing with – I sound like a jerk, but – dealing with all of the interview requests that day.
Right.
Trying to coordinate, like, so that I could, because I wanted to say yes to everybody. I was going to try not to say no to anybody. So trying to squeeze that all into one day. And I got an email I saw pop up in my inbox that said it was from US Soccer. And it said, you know, Mr. President, we'd like you to be our guest. And so I opened this email, and it's a letter from Sunil Gulati, who is the president of U.S. Soccer.
Yep.
And I'm reading through, and it's like, we would like you to be our special guest at this evening's festivities, pre-game party, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, all right, very funny. One of my friends back home thought, oh, this would be a great time to punk Mike and make him think that that U.S. Soccer knows who he is. Because at that point, I hadn't had any contact with U.S. Soccer. Mm-hmm. But I replied to the email and said, well, you know, thank you for the invite, but I'm actually in Natal right now, so I can't go to the game or go to the party. The Outlaws aren't going to be coming until the next day. And I got an email back, and they're like, sit tight. Let me see what we can do. I get another email back a little while later. U.S. Soccer had paid to fly me to Kissimmee, where the party was, so that I could be one of the special guests to come out for the official U.S. Soccer pre-party. And so I get there, and I'm just like, I'm on cloud nine. This is amazing. You know, I can't believe any of this is happening. And I'm kind of getting my gear together. We're in this sort of pizza place. It was a pizza restaurant. And I'm in the kitchen. The guys are chopping up limes for the caprinas and everything. And I'm looking into an empty Coke machine, like, window to see if I have my stuff on right. It was totally surreal. And one of the guys comes over and goes, okay, Mike, so now that you're all set, just wanted to let you know, a couple minutes, Will's going to be here. We're going to go out in the alley, film something real quick, and then you guys are going to go on stage. And I'm like, awesome, cool. Who's Will? And they're like, oh, no one told you. Will Ferrell is coming.
Oh, my
and
God.
Then my head exploded, and then I put my head back together. And Will Ferrell gets there, and I don't know if you guys have ever talked to anybody who's met this guy. He's the nicest human on the planet. Like,
yeah, sure seems that.
Obnoxiously nice. Like, you can't be that funny and talented and famous and rich and also nice. Like, there's got to be something wrong about you that we get to hate. Yeah. But anyways, we're out in the alley, and we're kind of I'm bullshitting with Will Ferrell. I'm making a joke, he's laughing, he's making a joke, I'm laughing. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden I hear Sunil Gulati, president of US Soccer, go, all right, Goldsvelt, that's enough, we got to shoot this video. So in my head I'm going, don't say another word, or else Sunil Gulati is going to put you on the blacklist forever. And so if you watch that, we filmed this little promo out in the alley.
Yep.
And it's mostly Will Ferrell. I wasn't supposed to be in it. I was just watching. And then he does his first take, and he's like, I want to do one more take. Goldsvelt, be ready. And I'm like, in my head, I'm going, oh, shit, oh, shit, oh, shit, oh, shit, oh, shit. And so he's in the middle of the thing, and he says, Goldsvelt, get over here. And so I jump into the shot, and if you watch it, it's super awkward because he keeps trying to tee me up. He's like, right, Teddy? And instead of doing anything, I just kind of go, because I'm thinking, I can't say a word or Sunil Gulati is literally going to kill me. So, yeah, that was funny. Looking back on it, I was probably being a little silly, but it's funny to watch now. And then, then I got to go out on stage with Will Ferrell. And again, like, the guy is so nice. We're waiting to go on stage, and he's asking me questions. He's like, man, I love it. I was just talking with my friends about this thing, and you're awesome, and where'd you get the idea? And we go out on stage. I go out first, and I do, you know, the I Believe That We Will Win chant, you mm-hmm. know.
Yep.
The old standard.
Yes.
At this point. And I try to leave the stage because, like, nobody – I know Will Ferrell's coming. Nobody wants to see any more of me. So I start to leave the stage, and he walks out, and he grabs me by the arm and brings me back out on the stage. And there's this awesome shot of him lifting my hand up, like, in victory. It's really amazing. The dude is so, so nice. It was really a surreal, awesome experience.
You ever keep in touch with him at all, or ever?
No, you know, not really. I try not to assume too much. Right. We tweeted at Funny or Die a couple times with this whole thing. We haven't heard anything back. I didn't expect to hear anything back.
Right.
But you know, he was so nice. I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up writing a note or something that said, like, hey, funny video. You know, he's just, like, that kind of a guy.
Right. That's awesome, man. Yeah. That's great. You have something there, Berlo?
Yeah. Let's, since we're doing presidential people in sports, I have a quick little quiz to see if you guys know anything about our presidents and the sports they're involved with.
All right.
And we'll go right off with the sport we've been talking about. Who was the first to invite a soccer team to the White House? Ford, Reagan, or Clinton?
I'm going Reagan.
I'll go Ford.
Gerald Ford.
Oh.
He brought some of the, back in the 70s, some of the teams from Portland and Washington down through. So
yeah, there was a sort of a renaissance of soccer late 70s. Yep.
Yeah.
And I was putting my chips on that.
Yeah, and I didn't put it in the quiz, but Reagan was the one who pretty much shocked America when he was the one who... sent the letters to FIFA saying, get the World Cup to America.
Yeah.
He's the one who started it.
Goldsfeld 1, Brennan 0.
Who got a bowling alley installed in the White House? Eisenhower, Nixon, or Carter?
I'm going Carter, baby. He was a fun dude.
All right, just so that we don't have the same answer, I'm going to go Eisenhower.
Both incorrect. Nixon. Oh,
damn it! Nixon strike.
This is an interesting one. Which one of these presidents was not a cheerleader?
Was not
a cheerleader. Franklin Roosevelt, Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan.
Roosevelt, you're up first.
I'm going to go Franklin Roosevelt for, I think, pretty obvious reasons. the whole chair thing.
What, Jimmy Carter was on there?
Franklin Roosevelt, Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan.
I'm going Carter because didn't he play football?
It was Jimmy Carter.
Yeah, baby.
I'm as shocked as you are. Like, I was going to do the question, who was in cheerleading, and I was scrolling through, and it's like, yeah, Franklin Roosevelt was a cheerleader. Like, the hell?
All right.
Who was a rower? Hoover, Theodore Roosevelt, or Eisenhower?
Man.
I'm going Roosevelt.
I don't remember in my brief Roosevelt cram session that I had once this took off. I was like, oh man, I know there's going to be some reporter out there who's just going to grill me on Roosevelt history. And so I don't remember that coming up. So I'm going to go Hoover.
It was you.
Yes. Brennan 2, Roosevelt 1.
Man.
Who wasn't a wrestler? Abraham Lincoln, Rutherford Hayes, William Taft.
I'm up first on this one, right? I think Lincoln can kick some ass, so I'm going to go with Taft. He was fat.
Yeah, I agree. I think Lincoln was, so I'm going to go Hayes.
Hayes.
Yes!
We're tied up.
Is this, how many we got?
It's the deuces each.
Okay.
Oh, man.
2-2. Is this the last one? Or?
I got three more here.
Okay, go ahead.
Who was the first president to attend a baseball game? Benjamin Harrison, Cleveland, or Wilson?
You're up, Roosevelt.
I'm going to go with Cleveland.
So I don't have the same answer. I'm going to go with... what were the other two?
Benjamin Harrison and
I'm going back in the day. Harrison.
Scott Brennan took the lead.
Yes, Benjamin baby. Harrison. Yes! Taking you down, Roosevelt. Two left.
All right, two left. First president to attend a NASCAR race, Ronald Reagan, George W. Bush, or Bill Clinton?
Wow, that recent.
Mm.
Interesting. I think this one's you, right?
Yeah. I feel like Reagan... I would like to say, but maybe I'm going with Bush.
Okay.
Bush.
I was thinking Bush, but again, I don't want to double up on the answer, so I'll go crazy contemporary. I'll go Clinton.
Wow. Ronald Reagan.
Oh, we both blew it.
He was at Daytona for Richard Petty's 200th career win.
Okay, so this is the last question. Gold Adult could either tie me or lose to me, correct?
Yeah.
Either way, my life is good today.
I will have a Roosevelt question as a tiebreaker if we have to go.
Okay,
to
good.
Who was the first president to attend an NHL hockey game? Jimmy Carter, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama.
What?
Huh.
That's you, Roosevelt.
I gotta think it was a ways back. I gotta go Carter.
God, I would think too, but I guess because I've had a few wrong, I'm gonna go with I go with Clinton.
Scott, you won by 2 points.
Woo!
As amazing as it sounds, Bill Clinton was the first U.S. president to attend an NHL hockey game.
Wow.
Come on, presidents. Come on now.
Yeah, that's a little weak.
Get it together.
That's a little weak.
All right.
So does that mean I win like a sweet Roosevelt sweatshirt or something?
No, you get me for next week.
Ugh, God.
Teddy goes home. I'm sorry, Teddy.
That's fair enough.
Everybody wins in this scenario.
All right, Teddy. So we can check you out on Twitter, Facebook, and what was the other one? Oh,
YouTube.
And YouTube. Is there anything else you'd like to plug here? Or
no, you know, I would just plug U.S. soccer one more time. Absolutely. You know, if you've got some listeners out there who've never really gotten into it or given it a chance, now's a really great time. The women, our women are great.
They look good.
They're really competing. They have a great chance to win the whole thing. So if you're looking for more of a winner than sometimes our men can be, maybe the women are for you. But yeah, just give it a chance. As I said before, I was a straight up hater, you know, making fun, was it a 0-0 draw or whatever, you know, people making fun of soccer. Yep. But honestly, give it a chance. Like you said earlier, try going to a match. I really think it's something that that could be just another piece of your sports life. You know, if you're a sports fan.
And we kind of brought it up with Balboa, but again, the MLS, they've done such a fantastic job. Even when the World Cup events and the qualifiers are gone, the league is very solid. I got a buddy on Chicago. He says he loves the stadium for the Fire. And
yeah, MLS is great. You know, MLS, I try to use that as like sort of step two. I think it's easier for Americans to sort of get behind an American team. So if there's the U.S. is playing, it tends to be easier for people to get into it. But yes. If you want to try club soccer, our MLS has come so far.
Yep.
And even the last 2-3 years, attracting talent.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of our guys have come home, you know, stars that you would recognize from the men's team, Michael Bradley, Clint Dempsey, Jozy Altidore, Mix Diskerud. I mean, our stars are now playing in the U.S. So, like I said, you know, I feel like a broken record here, but it's just a really great time to be an American soccer fan.
Yeah. I get to see my favorite player of all time, Gerard, play here next year.
Oh.
Yes. Yes.
Nice.
Big Liverpool fan.
Oh, sorry about that.
Yeah, well, man. Who do you like? Who do you like?
Spurs.
Oh, ugh.
Yeah, we tipped you this year.
Yeah, yeah.
Enjoy sixth place. enjoy play-in games for Europa League.
Yeah, thanks. And now we might lose. Now we might lose Sterling too, which is great. So
yeah,
that's great. But anyway, Teddy or whatever you would like us to call you, has been been a really fun interview, man. I think it was fun having you come on. You're like the perfect guest for the show. Just kind of like a crazy story that just doesn't happen to everyone. That's for sure.
No, it certainly doesn't. I'm not sure why it happened to me, but yeah, it's been fun being on with you guys, and hopefully maybe we'll talk again sometime in the future.
Just think if that guy didn't
for presidency, he'll turn it into something.
Yes, I'll be in your cabinet.
To think if that guy didn't point him to the camera, we'd probably be interviewing a guy who dressed up as like Elvis or Hulk Hogan right now.
Yes,
exactly.
Yes,
it'd probably be a more entertaining interview.
But anyway, thanks again, man, for coming on. It was a blast, and
really fun.
Hope
man.
You had a good time, man.
I absolutely did. Thank you guys so much.
All right. Take
Appreciate
care.
Appreciate it, Teddy.
Have a good one.
Wow.
Another interesting one,
good
man.
Good time stuff, man.
We keep on grabbing these crazy but fun stories, man. And
I mean, how do you beat a story like that? Like a 10-second, less than 10-second shot, and this guy's, you know, got something he could fall back on. He's hung out with celebrities. He's been paid for to do things. It's just amazing, like, the power of the internet.
Yeah, and as I was reading up, and kind of like he brought up at the beginning, it's just funny, you know, how, like, a few months before, he's laid off of his job, and any thought of being able to go down to Brazil and the most expensive event of the year, the World Cup, to think you can do it, and then everything just falls in line, and I mean, you even go to one of his roommates, are like, eh, it looks dumb.
Yeah, it's just like, yeah, anything that could have set that thing off and, you know, never seen the light of day. And it's just, my father and grandfather always used to say something, timing is everything in life, you know, like, you just, that 1 second, that 10 seconds, that guy turning, that coincidence, you know, and you get a life story out of it.
And he's so humble. I mean, even charities got money out of it. Mm-hmm. Even after everybody's like, no, we want you there for the U.S., I don't feel like... Don't worry, we're going to help other people out with this. So.
Yeah. So, Michael Berlow, anything to promote?
I don't have anything on mind, so we'll go to Friends of the Cast, Stress Factory Comedy Club, the Improv Comedy Jam. The next one coming up is Tuesday, June 23rd at 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. You can get tickets on stressfactory.com. I believe it's only it's $10, people. I mean, for a bunch of great improv acts.
Yes, and hopefully I will be there, and hopefully we can, Berlow will be there, and maybe we could get that podcast going. We do have, hopefully, the next guest on the show. I'm going to promote that. Hopefully it'll come up, and if it doesn't, it doesn't. But
Sean Kim?
No, we have a... I was following... I was listening to Tell 'Em Steve Dave, which... podcast with the Smodcast Network, and has Brian Quinn from Impractical Jokers and two of guys from Comic Book Man. And Quinn had talked about this movie called Turn Towards the Sun. It's a documentary on this World War II hero. Now, I don't want to go too much into it, but basically he's trying to help support the crowdfunding to get the finishing of this project to get to see the light of day. And I kind of looked into it, and I did a little research, and as you did, we tweeted the director, okay, hold on 1 second, I just want to make sure I'm getting this completely correct, and...
No, you don't have to wait, just spit it out.
Yeah, but yeah, Greg Oliver is the director. Mm-hmm. He also directed the documentary Lemmy, which I loved, and it's about Lemmy from Motorhead, so who wouldn't love it? But I just finished watching it yesterday. It's a fantastic story. I was hooked to it. And so hopefully we should have him on the show. And so it should be good. Other than that, as always, I'm not going to go through 10,000 announcements. Please keep subscribing. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Instagram, whatever, Facebook, blah, 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 blah.
Podcast land.
Podcast land. Please vote for us. Podcast of the month. It would help us out. And that's about it. Look out for the t-shirt things. It's still in the works. But we are just trying to grow this thing a little bit at a time. So, my friends, we've come to the end yet again. Help us out. Tweet us. Message us. Love us. Come see us do some comedy. Anything. Oh, also be at Scotty's. Almost said January. June 26th and 27th, Friday, Saturday, hosting for Jay Black Headline. Keep the win at your back, people. Life is funny. Laugh at it.
I believe we will win. Seriously.